anyway. Let's read in verses 14 through 17, the Lord being our helper. And we'll share with you some more things about the Spirit of God tonight and see what the Lord has for us. Verse number 14, the Bible says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." Father, thank You, Lord, for this day. Thank You, God, for the privilege, Lord, You give us tonight, Lord, to share the Word of God. Father, I pray You would speak to our heart. God, I pray that You'd bring back to my heart and my mind everything, God, Lord, that You want me to say, and Lord, reveal to me, God, new truths, Lord, even, God, as we teach and preach tonight of the Word of God. Lord, I pray, God, for anointing. I pray for an unction. Lord, I pray You would use us. God, I pray, Father, Lord, the Spirit of God would have its right of way, Lord, in its free course in our lives and in our church. Lord, we need the manifested presence of the Holy Ghost, Lord, in our lives daily. Thank You again for all that You've done for us. And Jesus' most precious and holy and wonderful name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, we see in verse number 16, if you're taking notes tonight, we see the testifying of the Spirit. The testifying of the Spirit. The verse 16, the Bible says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And man, the Spirit gives us assurance in our lives. Now, understand this. You say, why do I need assurance? Well, because there's an adversary out there that's going to get you to question whether or not you are a child of God. You say, well, that's never happened to me. Well, you're better than Jesus, because let's take our Bible and go to Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. Now understand, Jesus here in Matthew chapter number 4 was led into the wilderness there of the Spirit of God after He was baptized, and the Spirit of God descended upon Him like a dove in Matthew chapter number 3. And in verse 17 of 3 it said, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And the Lord God Himself there had solidified and give testimony that Jesus was the Son of God. The Spirit of God descended upon Him, identifying Him. Now notice in verse number 1 of chapter number 4. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." Now let me say this to you tonight. The importance of being led by the Spirit is, if the Lord Jesus Christ was led by the Spirit, if you and I are going to be Christ-like, we must be led by the Spirit also. Now let's go on. "And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to Him and said, If thou be the Son of God." What did the tempter just do? He just questioned whether or not Jesus was God's Son. Amen. He said, if you're the Son of God, if you're God's Son, what did He say? "Command that these stones be made bread." But Jesus answered, or He answered and said, "It is not written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh Him into the holy city and setteth Him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto Him these words, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And we the next temptation there, He taking Him there and showed Him the world and the glory and all of His glory and all of His kingdom. He didn't ask Him that, if He was the Son of God, but He asked the Lord. He said, "If you'll fall down and worship Me, I'll give you all of this." Well, understand this, at that time it was His to give. And because he was the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now worketh in the children of disobedience. But let's go back. If the devil tempted Jesus and questioned him and made him question, and I'm not going to say made Jesus question, but the devil questioned Jesus, casting doubt upon whether or not he was the Son of God. Don't think for one minute that the devil's not going to cast doubt upon you and make you question whether or not you're a son or a daughter of God. Now, so the important part of that is this. You say, well, I have never questioned. Well, God bless you. You are probably in 99.9% of Christians, okay? Now, I know that I'm saved, but there are still moments in my life where I have questioned and whether or not I'm a son of God. Sometimes it's because of my behavior. Sometimes the devil comes to me and says, are you really saved? If you was really saved, you wouldn't think that way. If you was really saved, you wouldn't act that way. If you was really saved, are you really saved? That preacher was preaching on hell, and you've been preaching on hell, and are you really saved? Sometimes the devil tempts me, but sometimes my carnal mind tempts me. So the importance of this scripture tonight is that the Spirit of God, notice, go back to Romans chapter 8, verse number 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. May I say to you tonight, your mind will lie to you. Okay? The devil will lie to you, but the Spirit of God cannot lie and will not lie to you. And I tell my children and others, if the Spirit of God has ever testified to you and bore witness with your spirit that you are a child of God, you're still a child of God. You say, well, it's been a long time since I've had him speak to me. Then maybe you need to do some closet cleaning. But the fact of the matter is, if he's ever bore witness that you are one of God's children, then you still are one of God's children. Because he would not lie. He cannot lie. Remember, Jesus called him the Spirit of Truth. When he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. So understand tonight, when the Spirit of God tells you that you're a son of God or a child of God or a daughter of God, you can take it to the bank, lay your head on your pillow at night, tell the devil to go to hell and leave you alone, cast down those wicked imaginations, think on heavenly things, lay your head down in peace and go to sleep. Amen. It's because a lot of times we get troubled and concerned. It's natural, okay? It's natural. Well, remember this, we have the flesh and the spirit lusting against each other. Kind of like our air conditioner and our heater a while ago, all right? One got ahead of the other one. It said, oh, wait a minute, I can't do that. So, you know, that's just the way it is inside of us. There's strife going on. And if you begin to listen to the lies of the flesh and the lies of the devil, you'll be a miserable person. I'll be honest with you, the most miserable time in my life was the point after I got saved and I had questioned whether or not I had been saved. Now, when I was lost, I knew I was lost. Even though I could say that I was saved, I knew deep down, deep inside, I still lost. Okay? But then once I got saved and I started questioning it, that's the most miserable I have ever been. And I believe the most miserable person is that person who's questioning, that saved person that's questioning whether or not they've been saved. And the important thing is this, he is the Spirit of peace, okay? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, all right? He will give you peace. When he speaks peace, he can give you that peace. He can give you that assurance. And he testifies. He has a testimony. It bears witness as a person that is called to the witness stand to give a true account of what they've seen. The Spirit itself bears witness Not with everybody else he can, okay? Because my spirit bears witness with other people whether or not they've been saved. I've come into contact with some people and my spirit in me and the spirit in them is not the same spirit. But the fact of the matter is, you can tell me all day long that I'm lost. The devil can tell me all day long that I'm lost. But when the Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit, okay, not your spirit. He can bear witness with your spirit, but then it's my spirit when he bears witness with you. Does that make sense? Because then it's, as you're speaking, it's mine. All right? So, he bears spirit witness with my spirit on the inside. Then it gives me assurance. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The testimony of the Spirit is not to the satisfaction of others, but to the solace of ourselves. It brings us comfort. It brings us solace. It brings us comfort. It brings us peace. It brings us satisfaction. It may not do nothing for you about my salvation, but it brings satisfaction and solace to me. Now let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The Bible says in verse 21, let's read it. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now remember that word earnest, because we're going to come back into it a little later. Now go to 1 John chapter 5, verse number 10. While you're in Corinthians, just go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. While you're there, let's go ahead and get it while we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Schofield Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Understand this, the Spirit of God and God the Father and God the Son does not want a believer to be confused. Okay? Notice what he said, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You say, preacher, I've heard you say many times that if the Lamb's Book of Life was opened up, that you would not have to go and see if your name was written there. You're exactly right. You say, how? Because the Spirit of God has borne witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. And He, the Spirit of God also is in me, and God has given Him to me that I might know the things that are freely given to us of God. What is those things that are freely given to us of God? Redemption. Amen. Salvation. Eternal life. That God has freely given us those things, and the Spirit of God will let you know, let anybody know if they ask, okay, that they, if they are a child of God or not. See, I can lie to you and tell you that I have been saved, and I can lie to you and tell you that I'm a Christian, but I can't lie to the Holy Ghost. And the devil may lie to me and tell me that I'm not, and you may lie to me and tell me that I'm not, but the Holy Ghost will not lie to me and tell me that I'm not. Now, he may tell me that I am not before I got saved, because he does. Because when he speaketh the truth. And those times in my life when I lived as a lost person, professing to be saved, I still knew down deep in my heart that I was lost, because the Spirit of God was not bearing witness with my spirit that I was a child of God, but that I was lost and on my way to hell. But now, understand this. Let's go back. There has been times since that day, several times, probably more than I can count, that I have questioned whether or not I'm really saved. The devil has caused me to question it. My carnal mind is, but the Spirit of God has never lied to me about my salvation. And He will not lie to you. Now go to 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. First John chapter number 5, let's look in verses 10 and 11. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. What is that witness? The Holy Ghost bears witness with our spirit. It goes back to Romans 8:16. He bears witness with our spirit. Who is that that witnesses inside of us? For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of us His Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. What is He talking about? Go back to verse number 8. I started kind of backwards, but I'm taking you somewhere. For there are three that bear, verse number 7, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. That's God the Father, God the Son, remember, because in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. The Spirit of God lives and abides and dwells and testifies to that believer that they are a son of God. He that, remember, and He is the Spirit of truth, and He cannot lie. Go to John chapter 14, 15, and 16, and we'll look there, and then we'll go on a little bit further. John chapter 14, 15, and 16. I'm in John chapter 14, verse number 17. Even, verse number 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. What does the Bible call him? The Spirit of truth. In John 14, 17. John 15, 26. But when the Comforter, even the Spirit of truth, is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. He is called the Spirit of truth, and he testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now one more place, John 16, 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. So I'm trying to establish with you tonight, through the Word of God, that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. He cannot lie, He will not lie. And if He has ever testified to you, bore witness with your spirit that you are a child of God, you're still a child of God, because He does not lie. Does it? You say, well, I just don't feel saved. Thank God it ain't based on feelings, because there's many days I don't feel saved. Amen? Amen. It ain't about my feelings. You say, well, you know, do you feel salvation? Yes, thank God I feel saved. I can feel it. But a faith in the fact produces the feeling. We have a problem in our Appalachian Mountains, and it's faith in the feeling produces the fact. No. Because you may have had some bad eggs or some bad apples, or you could have had something that made you feel good. It's not in the feeling. It's in the fact. And when the Spirit of truth acknowledges the fact and bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God, then you don't have to worry about it no more. Oliver B. Green put it this way. He says, sometimes I lay in the bed at night and I say, Holy Ghost, am I saved? And when he replies yes, he says, I just rejoice and go to sleep. I mean, you say, well, you ask him, what else am I going to do? He's the one that testifies of me, to me, my spirit. Is that not what he said? Go back to Romans 8:14. We'll pick up verse 16. We'll pick up verse 17. But it said that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Okay? And remember, that's all this chapter's about, is the Holy Ghost in our life. And man, we've been, I don't know how many weeks, and just the working of the Holy Ghost, and we are not even halfway through the chapter. I mean, the Holy Ghost, He is, in this day and age, Baptists have become scared of the Holy Ghost because everybody's afraid they're going to call them charismatics. And the devil has took the holiness movement and their salvation of works and what they claim as being Holy Ghost filled, okay? And it scared people. But here the truth is, without the Holy Ghost, we would not have been convicted of our sins. Without the Holy Ghost, we would not have been born again. Without the Holy Ghost, we would not have the witness that we are the children of God. Without the Holy Ghost, we would not have the power. Tarry in Jerusalem till you shall be endued with power from on high. We would not have the Holy Ghost to do the work of God. We would not have the leadership of God because He leads us through the Holy Ghost. Amen? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He comforts us. He's the Spirit of comfort to us. He's the Spirit of truth to us. He is very vital. He is the manifested presence of God on this earth during this dispensation. But why is it that we discard Him so much? But He is the manifested presence of God. That's why we need His presence in our lives and in our services. That's why we, now remember, He does not magnify Himself above the Lord Jesus. And when He testifies, He's going to testify of Jesus. You may tell you how you, in a testimony meeting, let me just give you a litmus test right here. You don't know how to tell if somebody's really witnessing or bragging on themselves. Who does it magnify? Just listen to it. Okay? If it goes to magnifying the Lord, it's of the Lord. It's of the Holy Ghost. If it goes to magnifying that believer, God ain't 100 miles from it. Amen? You've been in services like that. All right? Why? Because the Holy Ghost is going to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. But we see that He bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Now, let's go on and read a little bit further. Look in verse number 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Notice there that colon, there in, at the end of verse 16. That means that verse 17 refers back to verse number 16, and it's a continuation, and it depends upon verse number 16. So without the Spirit of God, guess what? You're not a son of God or a daughter of God. Let's just say a child of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Okay? So if he don't have the Spirit of God, guess what? They're not saved. If they're not saved, they're not an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. They can say, I'm going to heaven all day long, but guess what? They're not going. They don't have an inheritance. They're not an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. But because we have the witness of the Holy Ghost in our lives, it assures us that the covenant that God made with Jesus Christ, remember, He is the testator. The death of the testator binds the covenant. Go back to the book of Hebrews. That's why it's called the New Testament. Okay? It was a new covenant that God made with man, and Jesus Christ died, and He made that covenant be bound. And because He bound that covenant, and that covenant is including the Holy Ghost of God, and the Holy Ghost of God bears witness that we are a son of God, and that we are an heir of God, and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Then I've titled this, The Trust That Is Waiting. The word trust, I'm not talking about trust as truth. I'm talking about the word trust as a property interest held by one person for the benefit of another. The trust fund. Guess what? You and I have an inheritance. You and I are drawing now upon our trust fund. God has an inheritance out there for us, and it's a trust for us, and you and I are getting to draw on that trust now. And man, understand this, as we talked about the earnest, and I'll elaborate on it in a minute. The Holy Ghost is just an earnest, and that's just a portion. That's just a something that binds that agreement. And man, when you and I, and you know, when we are, that we live in the fullness of God, and the fellowship of God and the joy of the Holy Ghost, and you've been there as a child of God. If you've not, you don't know what you're missing. Remember, be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. And if that is just an earnest, man, what's the inheritance going to be like? I mean, if that's just a taste, that's just a portion, if that's just letting you know that the binding agreement, okay, is still in effect. He's the earnest of that trust. Remember, the Bible says that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Guess what? Everything that Jesus Christ is going to inherit, I inherit too. Amen. That's what a joint heir is. Everything that God has, I inherit. I'm an heir of God. Now get this. Christ made us an heir. Christ made us an heir. The Bible says in Galatians 4:6 and 4:7, and because ye are the sons of God, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Why am I an heir? Not because of what I've done, but because of what somebody else has done. They have chosen me. If I have received an inheritance from Doug Nix, he has made me an heir. Well, number one, by birth, but he can also choose how much of an heir he wants me to be. Okay? Because I'm an heir by birth, he does not have to give me anything. But now if I had been adopted, he's bound by law to give me an inheritance because he has chosen me. Okay? And we see this scripture here. Number one, we've been birthed as a child of God. But number two, we've been adopted as a child of God. And that Spirit of God is the earnest of our inheritance. An inheritance, I'm going to say this again, is not something that you have worked for, but it's what someone else has worked out for you. See, if you've received an inheritance, you didn't work for it. Somebody else worked for it. Somebody else done the doing, but they worked it out that you could receive it. And see, God has worked it out, and Jesus has worked it out, that we are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And we have an inheritance according to 1 Peter chapter 4, chapter 1, you can write these down. I don't have time to turn there and read them because I want to finish this tonight. But in 1 Peter 1, verses 4 and 5, it says, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I have an inheritance that's waiting on me. and you have an inheritance that's waiting on you, that's incorruptible, that's undefiled, and it fades not away. Not because of what I am done, but because of who I am. Amen? Because I've been born into the family of God. But number two, because I've been adopted into the family of God. And I have an inheritance because of the work that He did, not because of anything that I've done. We have been made heirs according to the hope of His eternal promise, according to Titus chapter 3, verse number 7. That we have been made heirs. Made an heir. Guess what? God could have saved us, kept us out of hell, and man, I'd have been fine with it. I'm honest. I mean, man, if I got to heaven and I lived on the street the rest of my life, may praise God, it would have been worth it. It's worth it. Because I guess what? I wouldn't have went to die and went to hell. Amen. But man, what the inheritance that He has for me. He didn't save me to be a pauper. He saved me to be a son. Right. And I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that God owns the cattle of a thousand hills. All of them. You know? And all the fishes in the sea. Guess what? Whatever He owns, I get to inherit. Was it not the meek shall inherit the earth? Amen? We're going to inherit it. But not this earth as we know it, but the new one. And you say, but let's go back to that earnest. How does the Holy Ghost fit into this? He is the earnest of our inheritance. That binding contract. If you've ever bought a piece of property or has ever sold a piece of property, they put down earnest money. That earnest money became yours. It was not theirs. It was yours. Even if they backed out of the agreement, guess what? The earnest money was still yours. It made that agreement binding. Guess what? The Holy Ghost of God is your earnest. It's that it lets you know that God is keeping His promises to you. That the covenant that God made with you when you got saved, when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God today bears witness that you are a child of God, but He also bears witness with His as an earnest that God is going to keep every promise and every covenant that He's ever made with you. And He's not going to breach it. Amen. And we have an inheritance that's coming, that's incorruptible, undefiled, and that fades not away. And the Bible says, reserved in heaven for you. Guess what, Brother Green? When I read that, reserved in heaven for you, that's me. But Brother Green, when you read that, reserved in heaven for you, guess what? That's you. Amen. It didn't say reserved in heaven for us. Right. It says reserved in heaven for you. There's something in heaven with my name on it. Right. Amen? Mine. I don't know what it is, and I mean, it may be a 5-gallon bucket of dirt, but I don't know. But all I know is this, there is something in heaven reserved with my name on it. But whatever it is, it's incorruptible, undefiled, and fades not away. It'll be the best dirt that I've ever had, amen? If that's what it is. And that's what the importance of the Holy Ghost is in our life. That's why we need to keep that fellowship open. That's why we need to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's why we need Him daily guiding us. And He is how we fellowship with God. It's through the Holy Ghost. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You, God, tonight for the privilege, God, that You give us, Lord. God, just to be Your child.